So Krishna speaks here, Daivi, divine, Yesha Gunamai, Avamaya. So Yeshas, this Maya, Gunamai, which is made of the three modes of material nature, is divine indeed, certainly. Mama Maya is my Maya, Durataya, very difficult to overcome. Mameva ye prapadyante. Mameva ye. That those who certainly prapadyante, those who surrender to me, that for them certainly what will happen? Mayam etam tarantite. They will cross over this Maya. Tarantite. Float over, cross over. Go over this Maya. So this is a foundational verse for understanding how the process of bhakti works. An example to illustrate this is, suppose we go to somebody's house and that person has a big, say, German Shepherd or Doberman or some kind of dog, and that dog starts charging at us, and now we may, hey dog, stop, hard. We may do all those things, but the dog is not our servant, and the dog keeps charging at us, and dog catches our trousers in the mouth and is about to pierce its sharp fangs into our leg's flesh. And so now, at that time, it is very difficult for us to fight off the dog. It's a giant dog and it's a fierce dog and it's already caught us. So, at such a time, when it is very difficult for us to get out of that dog's clutches, if we see just behind, the master is watching and say, oh, sir, please, call your dog off. It's about to wound me. Please, please. I'll come for some work for you. I'm not a threat to you. So then the Tommy, come back. And that master just says one thing and that's it. The dog just leaves us and goes back. So the dog is under the control of the master, and because of that, what is frightening and formidably difficult for us to do is quite easy for the dog's master to do, because the dog's master is having the power, not just in terms of physical power but in terms of the emotional command over the dog, by which it can order and the dog will obey. So like that, in this world, illusion dogs us. You know, wherever you go, just the word dog is normally used as a noun, but dog is sometimes used also as a verb. Just as a dog, if it holds on to a bone, it just holds on to it. So to doggedly follow someone means to, or to doggedly hold on to something means to just hold on to it with a great determination. Often it's used in the negative sense, stubborn determination. But dog as a verb also means to follow closely at the heels. Nobody likes to dog constantly. So the point is that illusion constantly dogs us in this world. And at any moment, it is just not very far away from us. And at any moment, it may nip us. At any moment, we may perceive some sense object. And by perceiving that sense object, we may start thinking, oh, this is pleasurable. I want it. And from that dhyayato, how quickly we may fall to pranashyati, we may not even realize that. So therefore, our prospects for spiritual growth depend to a large extent on the possibility of our shaking off the dog of illusion. And the way we can shake off this dog is by ensuring that we have the spiritual connection with the Lord of the dog, with Krishna. So now calling out to Krishna's name when we are tempted is of course vital, but calling out to Krishna is not just only restricted to calling out his name, although that is a important part of it. The more important thing is that there has to be an emotional fervency and urgency in our call to Krishna, because it is that emotional fervency and urgency that inspires, that shows Krishna sincerity, and that shows Krishna that we are not just doing that activity mechanically as a ritual, but we are eager for a result. That we are eager for him to intervene. Not just eager, we are desperate. So just as a person who is about to be bitten by a dog will have a sense of fervency, urgency and desperation in calling out to the master, similarly, we also need to call out to Krishna with a emotional zing, with an emotional force in the call. And that emotional force doesn't come unless we have a tangible connection with Krishna. We have sufficient conviction about Krishna's capacity to intervene. And we have sufficient conviction that of Krishna's willingness, indeed eagerness to intervene. So when we philosophically understand that Krishna is God, that Krishna is omnipotent, that Krishna is benevolent, then at that time we can call out to Krishna urgently, fervently. Because say if we are being bitten by a dog and we see a small child nearby, now we won't call to the child to help, because we think, hey, I'm a big person and I'm not able to stop this dog. What can this child do? So we will call for our help from a person who we feel is capable of helping. Similarly, we need the intellectual philosophical conviction that Krishna is indeed capable of helping us and Krishna is desirous of helping us. That means he is omnipotent and benevolent. And that will bring emotional force into our call for Krishna. And that's why as devotees it's important for us to hear about Krishna's glories and to contemplate those glories and to internalize those glories, and then we will be able to experience this mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite, that those who surrender to me, they will cross over illusion. This happen. This the truth of this verse can happen at a moment to moment level, where sometimes we feel strongly overcome by illusion, and we feel the need of Krishna to counter that illusion, to resist the desires created by that illusion. So it can happen that temptation attacks us, and we resist the temptation by calling out to Krishna. But this also applies at a macro level to our whole material existence, that to the extent we are surrendered to Krishna, to the extent we are calling out to Krishna, to that extent we will be able to cross over the illusions of this world as and when they come upon us. So if we are regularly connected with Krishna, doing regular sadhana, then the possibility of our being vulnerable to illusions decreases. And that's how Maya Metam Tarantite applies to us. We surrender to Krishna. And
stay half-hearted, thinking that maybe I should surrender to Krishna, maybe I should not surrender to Krishna, maybe I should try to enjoy in this world itself. Maybe if I, even if I decide to turn towards Krishna, maybe Krishna will not be able to protect me. So we have to understand Krishna's protection in two terms. One is that Krishna can not only overcome temptation for us, giving us the strength to resist temptation, but Krishna can also give us higher satisfaction. And what Maya is offering us. So our surrender to Krishna will become wholehearted when we understand both his greatness and his sweetness. Maya appears very sweet initially, and that's why we feel, oh, how can I live without this pleasure? And then sometimes when we try to leave the Maya, then she appears very great. The force with which she pulls us and the strength with which she traps us seems irresistible. So we understand philosophically Krishna's greatness, that Krishna is greater than Maya. And therefore, even if Maya is holding us, Krishna can release us. And we discussed the example of the dog and the master for that. But another way of understanding this is that yes, Maya appears sweet, but whatever sweetness is there in Maya, that is only a fraction of Krishna's sweetness. So when we understand that Krishna is the master of Maya, we also understand that actually Krishna's sweetness is greater than Maya's sweetness, far greater than Maya's sweetness. And therefore, by surrendering to Krishna, we won't be deprived of happiness, we won't be deprived of sweetness, rather, we will be enriched with far greater sweetness. So, thus, by understanding Krishna's position, both his greatness and his sweetness, we can bring bring intellectual force, intellectual conviction into our call of devotion, and thus call out fervently and gain Krishna's protecting and uplifting mercy. Thank you.